For WCYB Digital Radio, I'm Paul John Spaulding. Joining me is Sam White, our video producer, and Kyle Haglund, our senior audio engineer, to talk about video game industry news, including hacks and breaches. Guys, thank you both so much for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Apex Legends postponed competition amid hacking concerns. That's according to The Verge, by the way. And two professional players from major Apex Legends teams were targeted while live streaming by an attack that forcibly applied cheats during competitive gameplay. I believe this was during a tournament, which these might be people's livelihoods. Sam, I know you've been following this story. Maybe tell us a bit more about it.
Yeah, so when you see wall hacks or you see an aimbot activate on a live stream that you're watching of a streamer that you love, that could be the end of their career. Like, it is hard to get the benefit of the doubt that they didn't already have wall hacks or aimbot or some other type of cheat on their device before they started playing. Now, luckily for them, this incident was signed by the hacker himself, who injected these hacks into their gameplay. The hacker known as Destroyer2009. We don't know if it's a person or a group per se. So the debate online afterwards was, what was the flaw? And there's a huge worry that it was remote code execution, which is an extremely dangerous thing to have because that basically gives a hacker access to your computer to do whatever they want on it. And so the question is it a flaw on the anti-cheat or the game client itself? Easy Anti-Cheat confirmed on Twitter. Actually, their Twitter was inactive for 5 years, and this was the first time they tweeted anything. They specifically tweeted out, it is not remote code execution on our end. There is no flaw. Same with Epic Games. They did their own internal investigation because a lot of their games use Easy Anti-Cheat as well. They also said in their internal investigation, there was no possible flaw with remote code execution available. So it's just crazy out there.
So where does that leave us? And also for these Apex Legends players, I mean, this is a tournament. Am I getting that right? Mm-hmm. Because this is something where these are professional players trying to earn their living or trying to maintain their viewership, trying to maybe get their name out there even more by winning this tournament. Just kind of set the stage for us there, Sam.
It's so weird because when you think tournament, you almost think like an in-person event on a closed loop type thing, like an internal competition. I know there's a lot of competitive games like that, but with Apex Legends, it's a battle royale game and it's mostly online. So it's definitely easier to host a competition online, but it gets weird when basically there's people live streaming their own streams playing a competitive game. You'd be worried about not just like hackers themselves, but people screen looking, watching your stream to get an advantage. But it seems like it's bound to happen if you're live streaming a tournament online. If there was some vulnerability, of course, someone's going to mess with it. If they have some kind of malicious or maybe not malicious, they just want to mess with the event.
Kyle, I know you're our resident Apex Legends player here in the office. What's your take on this?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Me and Sam were actually talking about this earlier, how for a competition like this, we kind of expect it to be a LAN or like, you know, a local competition where they have computers set up. You come in, everybody's watching you, you're not slipping a USB in, everything's set, nobody can hack anything. So I did a little research, I was like, you know, why wasn't this? It's actually, this was a qualifier for the big North American competition, and that one is a LAN one. But even then, it kind of makes you think like, you know, if this is a qualifier, still, it feels like you should have at least like local LAN hubs or something set up around to make this fair.
I guess it's the difference between, as you guys are saying, a locally hosted event, like you would think of, I know a lot of esports things for Counter-Strike, for example, they have these almost like little stadiums. Well, they're not little really, but they have these stadiums set up where people are actually physically coming there. There are these teams of people, you know, they have all the branding and stuff. And this is actually something taking place online, like literally over the internet, remotely. Everybody is in a different spot maybe, right? And then they're actually live streaming this too as part of their business. They're their own content creators. So it's kind of a weird situation.
Yeah, it almost feels a little wonky because, you know, some people could have a graphics card that's significantly better than another's or a monitor that has a better FPS rate than another, where it feels like in a competition style system, we should at least all be on an equal playing ground when it comes to the systems that we use. Because, you know, you could have somebody that's a 10-year-old playing on an old system that's extremely talented, but the frames can't keep up with the quickness of the reaction.
Yeah, almost like a certain buy-in maybe at times.
Exactly.
Minimum required buy-in for these types of events.
Also, your ping would be a big factor in your gameplay.
Yeah, 100%.
When we were talking in the office, Sam, this kind of brought you back. I think this was last year, 2023 maybe, about vulnerabilities in Dark Souls. And I don't know if that relates or not, because it was just coming up in the discussion of these internet-enabled vulnerabilities, essentially. I don't know if you have any thoughts there.
So it was actually January 2022. And I think this is where the term RCE, remote code execution, kind of became a, I wouldn't say mainstream type of vulnerability, but people know the name because there was a reported Dark Souls 3 exploit. There's a Dark Souls online security mod called Blue Sentinel, created by this guy, Luke Yui. And he said he found and reported this vulnerability all the way back in 2020 to Bandai Namco, and they did nothing. Mm. And then with the popularity of Elden Ring coming out and Dark Souls 3 having this potential RCE vulnerability, they shut down all the online servers, Elden Ring included, like Dark Souls 1, 2, 3, and Elden Ring. And I think that kind of got it on the map, because people are probably wondering, why can't I play Elden Ring right now? Oh, there's this chance that someone could take over my computer if I play this game. That's the same fear now with Apex, because there's been little to no confirmation from EA or Respawn about like what is happening. So people are asking online, like, is it safe to play Apex Legends? Security people are recommending just don't play the game, uninstall the game, or just don't play for a few days. Just wait and see what happens.
Well, that's what's so funny. It feels like our best source of information is the supposed interview on TechCrunch with the supposed hacker, whose name is Destroyer2009. And there's one point in the TechCrunch interview when Destroyer2009 got asked why he did it. He said he did it just for fun.
You know, I guess with that, it's almost interesting how the software company Easy Anti-Cheat is attempting to help. And Epic, even a company unrelated specifically to this, but of course, as you said, Sam, they're using the anti-cheat software in some of their products and their games that they put out, and they're just trying to analyze on their own side what's going on. So it is really bizarre that EA or Respawn, the developer of Apex, wouldn't really comment on this or have more to say. You would hope that they're doing something, but it's always frustrating when these companies stay silent after an event like this.
I think Respawn released a post today, but I don't think it said anything of value. Just kind of, we hear you.
Exactly. And then another line that he dropped, he said, the vulnerability has nothing to do with the server and I've never touched anything outside of the Apex process, and that he did not hack the two players' computers directly. And it's funny because we're just getting that information from a hacker, where I'm not saying it's an unreliable source, but it's an unreliable source.
My issue with that specific quote, TechCrunch, they didn't say anywhere where they verified his or their identity.
Yeah, we don't know who it is.
Yeah, like we literally don't know who it is. And they didn't really like expound upon the fact that they even verified it actually is the person. Actually, I watched this YouTuber and popular Twitch streamer, Pirate Software, who just also happens to be a 20-year cybersecurity veteran. And he did this fantastic live external investigation of this whole hack, where he interviewed both of the hacked players and kind of walked them through the process of like, this is what the internet's saying. These are all these wild claims. Let's take it step by step and see like what could have possibly happened. And actually with Imperial Hal, who's actually like the number two Apex player in the world or something, and one of the most popular streamers of the game, he saw while he was doing this external investigation, like live on Twitch, someone in the chat said that the Malwarebytes program that he installed came up with a little pop-up that said there's an external IP address detected on your computer accessing one of his network ports. So he kind of like went through it, read the IP, made sure it wasn't Imperial Hal's IP before he showed it on a stream, and was like, okay, this is a rented server service. The hacker rented a server to get into your system somehow and probably used a Trojan to gain access to your computer. He didn't confirm that that was what he did, but he said it is more than likely that this is exactly how this happened.
I watched part of that video because you sent it to me, Sam, the other day. Highly recommend anyone Googling Pirate Software. Check that out. It's on YouTube. He's on Twitch. He really has extensive breakdowns on this subject as well as others too, which is really fascinating. Kyle, I do have one last question about Apex because, as I said, you're a resident player here. Are you going to play Apex right now, or are you going to hold off? Because I know it's one of your hobbies. You love playing Apex, and I know you have friends that play it as well, like you have a group going. So are you going to pause for the moment or just kind of keep going?
Currently, I'm definitely trying to take a break. It's pretty tough because I just switched to PC from console and I finally got the hang of it right as this happened. So it hurts a little bit. But yeah, this is supposed to be a wave of fixes that EA is doing. So only the first one was released in a series of a few. So I'm definitely going to wait at least a few more before I hop back on. There's just always been cheating in Apex. I'm not anywhere near the top 100 players. I don't think I have much to worry about, but it's the fact that they can get into my computer, which I just bought, and ruin it for me, you know, before I even really get a chance to take off the ground. So yeah, I'm definitely going to take a break for a little bit. Once I come back, you know, find me, Mr. Peepers, watch out.
Before we go, anything else you have to share?
Just a message for EA. Please install a bug bounty program. I was looking at it earlier, and it just shows that you are very happy to receive any information on bugs in your games, but you offer no compensation in reward for finding these bugs. Which also brings me right back to the same article with Destroyer 2009, where he said that he did not report the vulnerability to Respawn, the video game developer that makes Apex Legends, because neither the company nor the game's publishers, EA, offers a bug bounty program that financially rewards hackers and researchers for privately reporting security flaws. So, you know, if you offered a little something, I think it could go a long way.
Some food for thought, for sure, especially for EA and Respawn. Kyle, Sam, as always, thank you both so much for joining.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
For Cybercrime Radio, I'm Paul John Spaulding. Joining me was Sam White, our video producer, and Kyle Haglund, our senior audio engineer. To follow more of our media, visit cybersecurityventures.com.